Daar staat in Chatham nog altijd in het Royal Engineer Museum. Het museum eigenlijk van de Engelse genietroepen. En we hebben met James Scott, hij is een van de curatoren hier, al een gedeelte van het museum bekeken. Eigenlijk de geschiedenis van de vroegste tijden, voor de middeleeuwen, na de tijd tot aan de Eerste Wereldoorlog. Dan is er een aparte zaal, een grote zaal met verschillende afdelingen over de Eerste Wereldoorlog, die wij in Nederland niet kennen, wel de Tweede. En we zijn nog niet klaar in het museum, want er is ook nog een Tweede Wereldoorlog. En ook hier was de genie eigenlijk heel actief.
Okay, we have just come on to the Second World War section here. The engineers again increase in size, but also more different types of duties that they carry out. You can see here this is a searchlight, so during the Blitz, when the Germans were bombing Britain, the engineers were responsible for manning the searchlight battalions.
Oh. A lot of people don't know there was so much damage by the Germans.
Huge amounts, yes. Yeah. We have a section, we'll come to it in a while, about bomb disposal, which is very interesting. Also, a new type of engineer evolved during this period. This is the airborne engineer, so they were paradropped using parachutes into difficult areas such as Greece, also used on D-Day, and they carried out various tasks when they landed to secure the area for the rest of the army.
It's a different equipment if you compare it with this
entirely.
First World War.
Exactly. I mean, for example, this uniform is one of the first camouflage uniforms that the British Army used. The Germans started using camouflage, but this is one of the first British Army uniforms that was camouflaged, because they were often dropped into areas of dense vegetation. They used a lot of interesting equipment. You can see their tools here. For example, this thing that looks like a big row of teeth. This was a saw that you could fold up, so it was very, very compact and portable.
Inklapbaar zwaard in principe, met allemaal van die uitstekers aan.
The airborne engineers had a lot to do in Norway as well. They tried to help the Norway guerrilla effort there to destroy the Nazi heavy water plants. You can see here, this is a electrolysis cell from one of those heavy water plants. These were used to experiment with heavy water to create the atomic bomb. So the engineers airdropped in to try and stop that from happening. Moving on, we have a few things related to North Africa, where the engineers helped. Again, if you remember in the First World War, the engineers set up the workshops to resupply the army. They did the exact same thing in North Africa. This is the 7th millionth jerry can that they created for the army, and they thought that they'd keep that one. We also have, this is, if you know the German General Rommel, this is the flag from his HQ after he deserted it in North Africa, that an engineer himself took down. Moving on, this equipment here relates to the engineering task of creating runways and airfields. So after D-Day, when they were in Northern Europe, they created airfields so that the Royal Air Force could then drop more supplies in. On the left here, we have a collection of mines, because the engineers were in charge of mine disposal, especially on the beaches on D-Day and thereafter as well. You can see here we have the large German Telemine, which was used for destroying tanks. We also have the German S mine, which was used for anti-personnel. And it became quite difficult for the engineers to dispose of these because of all the different types of fuse. It became a bit of a science to disarm them. Very difficult at times.
Een aantal landmijnen, grote, kleine, allerlei verschillende vormen. Ook voor verschillende doeleinden. Hier staat zelfs een hele grote tank en vrachtwagen hier in het museum.
We also have this large hut here. This is the Royal Engineers built all the army's accommodation in the Second World War, and this is known as a Romney hut. This is the standard type of hut that they built. We also have, and you mentioned bridges earlier, we have some of the bridge equipment that they used. The Bailey Bridge was very, very influential in the Second World War.
The Bailey Bridge,
Some of the assault boat craft that they used, eventually when the Allies got into Europe, they were crossing rivers like the Seine and the Rhine. They were making assault crossings across the rivers, and the engineers were very important in this kind of amphibious assault. They were also very important in transport as well. As you can see here, this is the sort of equipment they would have used. We move on. We have a temporary exhibition in there as well at the moment. This room here relates to bomb disposal. So It's a very important task that the engineers carried out.
Very dangerous, of course.
Very, very dangerous.
Ontmanteling van een bom hier.
So it saved a lot of lives, yes, but also it helped morale in the in Britain. If the engineers hadn't been so good at disarming bombs, there would have been a lot of panic, a lot of hysteria. So it was very important for the war effort.
We saw it in the series, they called the midwife, was recorded.
Yes.
And there was also someone who tried to...
disarm a bomb, yes, yeah. It was much like disarming mines, it was like a science. There were many different ways to carry it out. You can see here we have a box of... we have a scene here depicting a bomb being disposed of. The engineers here are actually carrying a box full of fuses, and this is for their reference, because there were so many different types that they used this as an encyclopedia of fuses, so they could see. What they're doing here, they're firstly drilling a hole into this unexploded bomb, then they're using this large steamer that you can see here on the left to pump hot steam into the bomb, and this would melt the explosive material, which could then be ran off and dealt with more safely. So,
interessant dat met stoom gebeurde. Wist ik niet, ik dacht dat ze maar twee draadjes even door te knippen of zo.
One interesting thing that the Royal Engineers did was defuse a bomb in St. Paul's Cathedral. You can see it, this man here, Sapper George Wiley, he defused the bomb there. And this would have saved St. Paul's Cathedral in London from being destroyed. Obviously, it saved lives, but again, it would have been very sad for the British had that exploded. So it was important for morale.
Ja, die man heeft voorkomen dat St. Paul's Cathedral de lucht in vloog in september 1940. Ja.
What we have here is relating to D-Day. So there were two big engineer things that they did on D-Day to help. Firstly, they built they used the specialized tanks to assault the beaches, get rid of mines on the beaches. And other obstacles as well. And you can see some of those outside of the museum. We have a large collection of large vehicles in the grounds. Also, they created the Mulberry Harbours. This is a very important thing because when the Allies took the beaches on D-Day, they needed a safe port for the large ships to come in and drop further supplies and troops. So they created this artificial scheme of floating piers and bridges. And you can see an example here. These models you can see are the models that Churchill actually saw in his war room, so people could say, this is how it will work. So you can see it's kind of surrounded by a breakwater to create a stable port situation, and then you've got the large piers which come out.
So they didn't drive on the beach.
Exactly. Yeah. So the large ships couldn't get to the beaches. And this was the only place, after D-Day, there was another Mulberry Harbour built by the Americans, but that failed due to a storm. So after D-Day, this was the only place in the days after where supplies came through. So very, very important.
Ja, hier krijg je allerlei modellen te zien die de genie heeft ontworpen, het grootste geheim, om goed en snel op het strand te komen. En het was niet zo dat je, wat je vaker in films ziet, dat die boten eigenlijk het strand op voeren. En dat er ook allerlei bruggen, aanlegstijgers gemaakt zijn. We lopen met James Scott door het museum. We komen nog even terug in de volgende uitzending voor de rest van het gedeelte van de Tweede Wereldoorlog.